question from Sridham Vrindavan Prabhu. As devotees, we are aware that Lord Chaitanya has come in the age of Kali Yuga to distribute his mercy freely and teach the process of Bhakti Yoga and chanting of the holy names. When we study the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, we also learn how the associates of Mahaprabhu, the great Acharyas who led a very strict and disciplined life, who attained Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. From these pastimes, we learn that attaining Mahaprabhu's mercy is not easy, as though he was merciful to all, but at the same time had a very strict disciplinary regime. How in the modern commerce-driven age can we devotees live in a way to attract Mahaprabhu's mercy when we know are progressing in a time where religious principles, scriptures, devotional principles are not accepted by the general public, and in return devotees face an uphill struggle to survive? Answer. Firstly, we need to understand clearly what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy means. Mercy means that even if a person is not qualified, that person is given the opportunity. At the same time, the person has to take the opportunity. So, for example, if a patient is sick and he doesn't have, and treatment is very expensive, so he can't afford the treatment, and then he will have to suffer and die. Then if the hospital says that, you know, we have a charity ward, and there you can get admitted and you don't have to pay anything. So that is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood is. It's like the charity ward in Krishna's dispensation. So now when the patient gets admitted in the hospital, he doesn't have to pay anything over there. But still, he may not have to pay the money. So that in that sense, he was extended charity, but still he has to follow the treatment. He has to make sure that he takes the medicines and avoids the prohibited items so that the treatment will work and he will get cured. So similarly, in the past ages, even to get access to the process of spirituality was not easy. Now Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made the process of devotional service, which is the highest among all the processes of spirituality, readily accessible to everyone. So that is his mercy. That's like the expensive treatment being made available free. At the same time, the curing is something which we have to be a part of. We can't avoid that. If we want to go back to Krishna, we have to develop love for Krishna. And if we still have love for sense gratification, for wealth, for prestige, for power, then we cannot go back to Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy doesn't mean that we have love for material things and still we go back to Godhead. Krishna, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur would say that we cannot gate crash into the kingdom of God. We cannot force our way into the kingdom of God. And even if we don't force our way, even if we say, Krishna, please show mercy on me. But if Krishna takes us to the spiritual world when we are not yet pure, when we don't desire to love and serve Krishna, then we will not be happy in the spiritual world. Because in the spiritual world, everybody is loving and serving Krishna. And if we still have not developed the taste for delighting in the love and service of Krishna, then we will want to be the center of attention. And we will be miserable in the spiritual world also. So therefore, it is for us to develop the purity, to develop the love for Krishna. And certainly, it is easier because of the chanting of the holy names. So what is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? As I said, first, he has given us the process free. In the past, the sages had to go to the jungle and meditate, and then gradually they would recognize, okay, this is God and this is what we have to connect with him. And this is how we connect with him. So if we read the scriptures themselves, the process of Bhakti Yoga doesn't become easily apparent to them through the scriptures. So the Bhagavatam is written so that the highest knowledge becomes easily accessible. So first is the processes made freely available. Second is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us the most potent process. Just like there can be multiple treatments, but some treatment works very fast in a particular season. So the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is permeated with, it's non-different from Krishna, and because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed us to chant it, so it is filled with some extraordinarily special power, and it can bring about the redirection of our love from matter to Krishna in a very swift and effective way. So swift and effective. The yogis, they first have to, yogis or the gyanis, they have to detach themselves from matter, and gradually after a painful process of withdrawal from material existence, then they recognize that, what do I get attached to? I mean, they're fortunate if they get the association of devotees, then they may come to know about Krishna, then gradually they develop attachment to Krishna. So it's a long and cumbersome and troublesome process. But in the chanting of the holy names and in the process of Krishna consciousness, this redirection from matter to Krishna happens very swiftly and effectively. And we will see that there are several materialistic people who, even for health reasons, want to, say, avoid eggs or avoid tea or avoid coffee or avoid alcohol, and they struggle for years with these habits and they are unable to give it up. But devotees who start chanting Hare Krishna within a few months are able to give up these habits which are trapping other people for decades. So how is that? Because the chanting of the holy names and the remembrance of Krishna is giving a higher taste which enables one to easily give up the lower taste. So the process is swifter and it is far more potent than all other spiritual processes. Still, ultimately it is we who have to change our desires. If we want to change our desire, the process is going to help us in a very powerful and swift way. But still it is we who need to change our desires. So that is not something which Krishna can change. That is something which ultimately it is we who have to redirect our desires. It is we who have to choose Krishna. So how do we choose Krishna? By focusing on the process of devotional service. So this is the understanding of the mercy. The two understanding aspects of mercy is that the process that was very elusive in the past has been elusive and expensive has been made readily and freely available for us. So that was expensive, like an expensive treatment given freely, and elusive. It is not known in the Vedic literature also. What is the ultimate process to be practiced? That has been very explicitly and directly clear for us. So the most potent process is made easily and readily available to us. But it is for us to follow the process. Just as it is for the patient to take the treatment and get cured. Certainly the devotees are like the doctors who will help us. But ultimately we have to take the treatment. So now in our, as you said, commerce-driven situation in contemporary times, the material allurements are overpowering, and these material allurements often drag us back again and again to material indulgences, and that's why we need regular reinforcement of our intelligence and regular reinstallation of our devotional desires. We need to reinforce our intelligence by studying the philosophy, by reading the books, by discussing with devotees, by hearing classes, so that we understand how material things are temporary and unsatisfying, and how our relationship with Krishna alone is eternal and it is truly satisfying. So one is reinforcing our intelligence so that we know what is right and what is wrong, and second is reinstalling our devotional desires. Ultimately, the fruit of associating with devotees is the desire to serve Krishna. At the end of the Bhagavad Gita, what happened to Arjuna? His desire changed. So when we associate with devotees, whether it is by hearing lectures or reading books or doing some services together, what happens to us is that we get from them the desire to serve Krishna. So that desire to serve Krishna is installed in our heart by the association of devotees. But in a short period of time, because of materialistic culture externally and our materialistic mind internally, that desire to serve Krishna is often overthrown or is at least threatened. So then we have to fight back, and we have to, regularly associating with devotees, keep the desire to serve Krishna installed in our hearts. So certainly we will find ourselves in a culture where people don't respect devotional principles, but we need to understand that manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid visiddhaye, there is a special sense of adventure also in doing something which everybody else is not doing. We are not just following the pack. We are not succumbing to the herd mentality. We are living a life of values and principles. When we recognize this, then we feel enlivened to continue on doing what we are trying to do. And if we find ourselves getting too discouraged by the presence of non-devotional or anti-devotional people and circumstances around us, then that indicates that our devotional connections are not deep enough. So we need to spend quality time and quality consciousness to strengthen our devotional connections. That is by hearing, by serving, by associating, by praying, by remembering, by chanting, by the ninefold process of devotional service, we strengthen our devotional connections. So basically in our heart there are two kind of forces. One is internal, one is external. The internal force can be called as our sentry petal force, that which draws us inwards towards Krishna, and the outer force is called a centrifugal force, that is draws us outward towards the sense objects. And these two forces are at war in our heart. So the more we perform Krishna conscious activities, they strengthen our centripetal force. They increase our attraction to Krishna. They increase the force that will pull and push us towards Krishna. And the more we associate with materialistic circumstances and people, the more it strengthens our centrifugal force, which drags and propels our consciousness outwards away from Krishna. So therefore we need to balance ourselves by ensuring that we give ourselves adequate devotional nourishment, which will ensure that we will be able to overall strengthen our centripetal force. So all of us need to identify which are the sources of centripetal force for me and which are the dangerous causes of centrifugal force to get triggered within me. And when we stay away from these two, when we stay away from those centripetal attractions, centrifugal attractions, outward attractions, and when we reinforce our connection with the inward attractions, then even in this situation we can keep moving forwards. And over a period of time we will find that the people around us, initially they may disrespect us, they may neglect us, they may deride us, but gradually they will start respecting us, because ultimately everybody wants to have some purpose, value, meaning in their lives. And materialism does not bring any value, purpose, meaning in the life. People do it because they just want to be accepted in their social circles. But just trying to live for the crowd drains the heart and drains the life of all meaning. So if people see that somebody is truly living according to principles, initially they may ridicule, but over a period of time they see that we are consistently living according to principles, they will appreciate. They may not appreciate publicly. So first we will go through the stage of derision, ridicule. Then second will be admiration. They will not speak to us, but they will speak to others. This person is a person of principles. Now whatever he's decided to do, he's doing that. And then after that second phase of admiration from a distance, then they will actually start appreciating, and they will start abiding by the devotional principles themselves. So first there is ridicule, then sometimes there is neglect. That okay, this person is just conscious, neglecting. But after some time there will be admiration, and then after some time there will be transformation. So we need to persevere and if we stay strong in our principles, then we can not only continue on our devotional life and experience higher devotional happiness over a period of time, but we can also become beacon lights. We can also become gateways for others to also connect with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy and become transformed themselves. So with this understanding that Krishna is with us, if we forget that Krishna is with us, then trying to practice devotional service will appear mission impossible. But when we understand that Krishna is with us, then we will understand that practicing Krishna consciousness is actually mission unstoppable. With God's power with us, who can stop us? Nobody. Except, of course, ourselves, if we don't surrender to Krishna and don't take shelter and strength from Him. But if we do take shelter and strength from Him, then our spiritual advancement is mission unstoppable. With this meditation, we can march ahead, even in these dark times of Kali Yuga. Thank you.